Welcome and thank you for joining us for our podcast recording today. My name is Deanna Weaverling. I work for Headline Marketing and Communications. And as some of you may already know, this is just one of the additions in our Marketing Minutes podcast that we use sometimes to help with marketing tips, offer advice, and help your business or organization grow. Sometimes we also offer information about what's going on, what's ahead, and different businesses and organizations that help out our community. That being said, it's an honor to introduce our next guest, Dr. Ralph McKibben from Blair Gastroenterology Associates. They have offices in Altoona, Bedford, and Evansburg. He is going to be talking to us a little bit about what we can expect with a New Year Resolutions Expo that's going to be coming November 21st. It's going to be taking place at the Logan Valley Mall from 10 to 2, and it's going to be offering a lot of information about healthcare. We're going to have some providers that'll be talking about exercise and getting outdoors and helping us not only set New Year resolution goals for 2021, but also giving us tips and advice to be successful with those goals. So that being said, I would like to say, Dr. McKibben, first and foremost, thank you so much for joining us today. I know your schedule is pretty hectic with patients, but I'm thankful that you were kind enough to give us an opportunity to talk with you a little bit about the expo coming up. But before we get to that, can you give our listeners a little bit of information about, because the presentation that you're going to be talking about at the expo is dealing with celiac disease and living gluten-free. Can you tell us a little bit about the disease?
Sure, absolutely. And I'm delighted to have this opportunity. It's nice to reach out to people and update them on these, I guess, trendy conditions, if you will. But gluten-free and celiac are always in the news, and people are not exactly sure what it is we're talking about. I'd like this opportunity to give some more direct information. And if you come to the expo, we'll be able to get into detail with a lot of things. Celiac is an immune disease which affects about 1% of the population. So there are millions of people in the country that have this. And those people are sensitive to gluten, which is a component of flour. Gluten-free, additionally, is a separate thing. People may be sensitive to gluten, and a lot of people at the New Year's time and New Year's resolution time think they want to go on a gluten-free diet or a carb-free diet and things like that. So there's a lot of overlap, and people don't really know what it is that they need to do. Some people need to be strictly gluten-free. Other people maybe just take the top off the pyramid, if you will. So to get back to celiac, celiac is an immune disease. You react to gluten in wheat. It is not an allergy, as many people think it might be. Allergies would be like you eat strawberries and you get hives, things like that. The gluten sensitivity is more of a long-term thing, and it's a bad metaphor, but I always say, think of poison ivy. You go walk in the woods, and later that night, you're not sure what happened, but you're itchy. Well, this isn't an itchy thing, but it affects you later on the inside. There, of course, there are always going to be people who are faster than others, and I always say, think of a bell curve. Some people are so mild, they don't know they have it, and other people are so severe, you can't stop it. So there's a spectrum of disease, but this inflammation occurs down the road, maybe later that day or the next day, and then it lasts for a long time. So unlike, say, lactose intolerance, where you might drink a little milk or something like that and say, I can get away with it, this is really more of an all-or-nothing condition for those people that have this. They need to give up all gluten, including in pills, spices, and medications. Some people are very severe, as I said, and they may have to use plates that other people in the house don't use and things like that, but that's pretty uncommon. So this immune condition bothers people. It gives them symptoms. But many people don't have symptoms because they don't really know what it is to be normal. They may have had this for years and just think that grumpy gut feeling they have is normal. Everybody in the family has it or something like that. And so oftentimes people come in with just mild symptoms, or they, incidentally, we find this when we're talking about heartburn or something else, and I ask questions about the intestines and we find out that they have celiac. The oldest person I ever diagnosed was 88 years old, and she had no clue that she had this. She thought this was just something you had to put up with.
So, and lived her whole life like that.
She lived her whole life like that, never knew what it was to be normal. So the good news is there's a lot of information out on the internet, and people will do searches, but the problem with searching on the internet is often you get bad information. People have something to sell or an axe to grind, so they tell you about their particular cure or fix-it thing, and that's not necessarily the best information. So a conversational approach is often helpful. I don't mind when people look things up on the internet and bring in things to show me. We can talk about what's real and what's not. I mean, after all, that's what my education was about, to filter through this so I can answer your questions in the brief time that you're in the office. And we can get you, I always say, to have a plan for the future. How does this work? And, you know, when you get more questions in the future because you've become more educated on your condition, well, we bring you back and update you. And then there's that. Things change with time. You've been doing this for a while. You think things are fine. New discoveries, inventions, and treatments come out, and you're out of date, and you don't even know it. So going back in for a checkup on something as simple as celiac is appropriate as well. So it's be a good thing to come down and maybe come to the expo. We can talk and update people and just see, is there anything new that, since the last time you came in?
I think that's great information. I have to chuckle when you said about looking online. You know, that's a great place for, like, directions, and but not probably not health advice. So I can appreciate
but,
that.
But they're going to do it anyway.
They
and
will.
So people do what people do, and I expect that. It's okay. I can handle it. I'm not threatened by it. And so I'll often look up the diseases that people have just to see what pops up on the Google. That way I know what you're seeing. You do need filtered information. It's important to go to validated sources where people who have spent their entire professional lives studying something can filter the information and give you updates, etc. So that way you can learn something and get up to speed, if you will, in a short amount of time. You shouldn't have to reinvent the wheel, as they say.
Oh, true. Good advice. One thing that I did want to touch base on, and you mentioned it briefly, you said there could be symptoms. Some of your patients don't have symptoms. Can you give us a couple of symptoms to look for?
Sure. Milder disease tends to have very little in the way of symptoms. So symptoms are things that you feel or experience. That would be like upset stomach, bloating, diarrhea. Those are symptoms. Milder cases have very little in the way of symptoms, or symptoms may just come and go. People with more severe disease, where the intestine actually becomes inflamed and ulcerated, will have trouble with digestion and absorption. So they may become iron deficient and be tired and fatigued and things like that. And they may have ache, soreness, pain, and discomfort. So there's a spectrum, as I said, from mild and no symptoms to mild up to severe. So most people are somewhere in the middle of on and off symptoms, I would say, is sort of the average.
Okay. Well, that's helpful. The other thing, and I know you said sometimes it's a family that have had it their whole life and don't realize, who can get it? Can you have a patient that has a new onset of it that may be family? It's not genetic.
So it's not a genetic disease in sort of like hemophilia, where there's a gene that gives you the disease. But there are what we call permissive genes, where you have some structural genes in your intestine, and if you have those, you can develop the disease. So the Irish are actually more prone to the disease, about 3% of the population, but overall it's 1% in the United States, and that includes African Americans, less so Asians, and then all the European ancestry, if you will. So just think roughly 1%. If you have the permissive genes, you can get it, but it doesn't mean you will. But if it runs in the family, you say, oh, my cousin has it, or my mom or dad has it, there's a very good chance that you have those permissive genes and that you could develop this. It's not a straightforward thing. It's an immune system thing. So it usually comes out of an infectious event or some event where you start the immune system up and then the disease kicks off.
Okay. Well, that's good to know those family genetics, and that's not always the case, so that's good.
And it actually, just to add an additional thought, it could occur at any time. So children experiment with their immune systems, if you will. We know that some kids will get antibodies, and we could talk about that and how do we diagnose it, but can get antibodies that come and go. But as I said, it can develop at any time in life, so it's not necessarily, you know, you could test negative for 20 years and then get the disease, so.
Well, one other question that I do want to ask you about this, and I know you're going to be at the expo. Again, it's going to be taking place Saturday, November 21st at the Logan Valley Mall in Altoona. It's going to be from 10 to 2 p.m. And I know we're encouraging people to come and talk with you in person at the show, but what would be some of the treatments that you could offer?
So treatment for celiac is kind of interesting. Actually, socially, it's viewed as punishment for doing the wrong thing. You shouldn't eat that, so it's your own fault. But avoidance is the key, just like lactose intolerance. You say avoid lactose. You know, why get sick if you don't have to? So avoiding gluten is the key to the process if you accidentally become exposed to celiac, either through medication or something you accidentally ate. It is possible to do something to reduce inflammation, in anti-inflammation treatments, things like that. But there is no medication that would shut it down. Other immune diseases that people may have heard of would be like rheumatoid arthritis or Crohn's and things like that, psoriasis. You see the ads on TV, there's medications to suppress it. We don't have anything like that for celiac. So it's mostly symptomatic treatment and avoidance. And there's lots of things we could talk about to do that.
Well, you had mentioned earlier the antibody testing for children. Can you tell us a little more detail about that?
So, yeah, the diagnostic testing, I will just say that back in the day, we didn't have a test for this other than if we believed you have it, to take a look down in the intestines, do biopsies, and look under the microscope. But that's kind of an invasive way. So you certainly weren't going to test 1% of the population or, say, test 2% to find 1%. So what we've developed over the years, now that we know what the problem is an antibody test. If you develop antibodies to this structural protein that I alluded to, we know that you have a good chance of having this celiac disease. So then we would do the scoping, confirm the disease, et cetera. So the antibody test is the screen. There's a few different ones. There's some panels. But the idea is to get a test, get screened, if you will. And if it runs in the family, then you may test the brothers and sisters or siblings, parents, et cetera, every few years just to see if it crops up. Remember, a lot of people don't have symptoms, so you can't wait for symptoms to make the diagnosis.
Now, if a patient doesn't have symptoms, what kind of underlying damage could be taking place?
Well, probably the one that we find most often is people come in with unexplained iron deficiency. Iron is absorbed in the upper intestine where celiac is most likely to be, and they'll come in and they'll have an unexplained iron deficiency. So they're fatigued and tired and that sort of thing, and that can happen. The other thing is, again, many people will have the disease and not know they have it. Think of a long, slow slide. The fatigue and the enzyme deficiencies and things like that can have all kinds of effects on the body, not just fatigue, but actually what we call neuropsychiatric manifestations. Actually, children with undiagnosed celiac are more likely to be depressed and suicidal than normal kids. And when you treat it, they get better. So these chronic illnesses that run you down can have effects, and we all know that. So people that come in and they just don't feel good, it's depressing, you know, and kids are under enough stress as it is, let alone having an unexplained disease. So not to scare people, but that's an example of not knowing you have something and you should do a full court press. And this is so common, it's often part of looking to see what's going on.
You've kind of somewhat touched on this, but the importance of lifestyle and diet. Any recommendations? I know you said earlier, don't, you know, punish yourself or beat yourself up if you go over, but any kind of guidelines that you could offer?
Sure. I just want to separate again people with gluten sensitivity from those with celiac disease. There are two separate things, and we can talk about them. It's about 6% of the population has gluten sensitivity, and perhaps at the expo I could get into that as well. So those people are not as strict in their restrictions as people with celiac. As I said, it's all or nothing. You give up gluten in your diet. You get rid of the spices that have added wheat in it and things like that. Medications, food items. Often people will give up prepared food items. Anything with breading and things like that has to go. And then there's lots of tips and tricks. It's difficult to give up your Christmas cookies, as an example. And the key is often not to diet or change your diet by restricting, but diet by adding. So in other words, find new things that are gluten-free that you really like, and they may actually be better than what you're giving up. One example for many people is the no-bake cookies. No-bake cookies don't have wheat in them. Some people love them, and they just as soon have that. So that's an example of finding something new for your lifestyle. I don't have to give up all desserts. I just have to give up certain desserts.
I like your way of thinking. I really like your way of thinking. And you just gave us the green light that no-bake cookies are okay. So that's wonderful news. Before we come to a close, Dr. McKibben, is there anything else that you would like to add for our listeners today? Let them know.
What I want to say is that in the modern world, with changes so rapid, we double medical information every 4 years. So things are changing rapidly. Just because things didn't work out before, bring things up, discuss them. If you think it runs in the family, see if you can get testing at your family doctor or whatever. But this is the kind of thing that should be on everyone's radar because it is so common. 1% of the population is a big number. So don't be afraid to ask the questions. This is a joint effort, if you will.
Yeah, it is. And to be honest about the answers and come in and be seen. One question that I wanted to ask you, I know we're talking about you being at the expo, but I also wanted to know, a patient that may not want to wait until then to be seen or has questions to come into the office, could you give us some contact information?
Certainly call and schedule. Our phone number is 814-946-5469. That's our general scheduling number. We do have a website where you can check for contact information. We do have offices in Bedford, temporarily at least now in Ebensburg, and here in Altoona.
Nice. Well, after this conversation, and I love these podcasts because I always learn myself a wealth of information, and you have been extremely wonderful to talk with. I hope we didn't give everything away because, again, we would really like to encourage anyone listening out there that you yourself or a loved one is suffering with either of these. Please come to the expo. Dr. McKibben is a wonderful wealth of knowledge and has a lot of information. He's been doing this a long time. So I just encourage you to come to the expo. Dr. McKibben, once again, I thank you so much. For anyone that is interested to join us, again, it's a New Year Resolutions Expo. We're going to be talking about how to save money, better manage it for the year ahead. We're going to be talking about exercise, eating right, obviously, and a whole lot more. So I would encourage you to come. It's going to be Saturday, November 21st. I mentioned this earlier. It's going to be at the Logan Valley Mall, and it will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we hope to see you there. Thanks again for joining us today. Thank you once more, Dr. McKibben, for your time.
Thank you, too.